We are joined by a Bleacher Report NFL national lead writer. Also on top of that, Mount St. Joseph's most accomplished Gael, the author of numerous books, including You Negotiate Like a Girl with Amy Trask, Snake, The Legendary Life of Ken Stabler, A Man Who Flashed the Vulcan Salute numerous times on Radio Row. There is nobody like him. He is Mike Freeman. Mike, good morning. What's up? How are you?
That might be the best introduction of all time. And live long and prosper, my man.
You know why? Because you might be the best guy of all time, Mike Freeman. I will. And you as well. God, that sounds great. Listen, you've got a piece up today. And part of what you address in that piece is the situation with Le'Veon Bell. You pointed out there is a number that explains why Bell will miss training camp. What is that number and what's it represent?
Well, first of all, I knew that Steelers Nation was a very vocal and proud nation, and I'm hearing from a lot of them today because there's always, you know, Jim, there's always been this strain of fan that just doesn't like to see players get theirs, and most of us will change jobs, and we will change jobs for betterment of ourselves and our family and to make more money, and players do the same thing. And this is what Le'Veon Bell is essentially doing. Le'Veon Bell wants more money, and he deserves more money. And what I point out with that number is just how much money the owners are making. It's staggering. And we know because the Packers released their annual financial report, and the owners are making money hand over fist from the TV deal alone, not counting stuff they sell at the stadiums, the beer, the T-shirts. And players get a chunk of that, of course, but they're not making nearly as much as they should. And guys like Le'Veon Bell, understandably, say, I'm going to get mine. And I got no problem with that. And I don't know how anyone could have a problem with that. And the Steelers are offering him a lot of cash, but he deserves more. So good for him. I'm glad he's doing this, and I wish more players would do it.
Mike Freeman joining us. All right, then. With the way negotiations have gone, Mike, who do you think is risking more in this case, Le'Veon Bell or the Steelers?
Well, I think the Steelers are taking a huge gamble here. Look, the running back position, you know this, Jim, has been devalued over the last few years, really like the last 10 or so. But there are examples, there are players who are different. There are players that break that mold. He's one of them. And also the position is starting to come back a little bit because running backs are starting to do much more in the offense, are starting to be much more involved in the passing game. Le'Veon Bell lines up wide. He's as good as a receiver running routes. He's out of the backfield. He does a lot of catching. He's an instrumental key part, perhaps the biggest part of their offense. So when you lose a guy like that, yes, you can replace some of that. Yes, there will be players that will come in and replace some of that, but he's special. And you lose that kind of special player down the road, it will hurt your franchise. And I don't care what anyone says, he's that good. I think he's the best running back in football. I think he's better than Gurley. I think he's better than some of the other guys. And you lose talent like that, it hurts your team. It hurts your franchise. There's no question about it.
Mike Freeman, Bleacher Report, NFL national lead writer, joining us. You know, Mike, he'd argue that he's not only the best running back in the NFL, period, that he's the best running back in the NFL, and he's also a number two receiver. In fact, how about this? The Steelers are offering him a lot of money, but they're not offering him what they pay Antonio Brown. For instance, if you're an opposing defense, who scares you more, Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown?
Well, it's close, but, you know, from people I've talked to in the league who have game planned against them, it's Bell because he's more of a central part of that offense because he runs and, like you said, he catches. He's not even, Jim, like a number two. He's like a number one receiver. I mean, he could play a number one receiver in this league if he wanted to. So that kind of guy who is that versatile scares defenses more. And the argument against that is they've had guys like D'Angelo Williams and some other guys replace him, but no one replaces him like this. Everything he does in that offense makes him incredibly valuable to what they do. Antonio is great. I mean, he's the best receiver in football, but when you have a running back who can also run routes the way he does, be so effective in the receiving game, that puts a price tag that is very, very hard to match.
You know, Mike, of course, they're trying to make the argument, and I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell and his folks, they're trying to make the argument that you got to pay the player and not the position, which sets up something really interesting to me. In terms of the overall valuation of players and how players are paid, who then would you rather have? An elite running back like Bell or Todd Gurley, or a quarterback like Andy Dalton? Who brings more to your offense?
That's a good way to – I mean, the quarterback position is so valuable, but, I mean, you're going to compare Gurley and a guy like Andy Dalton? I mean, Gurley is more valuable. Le'Veon Bell is more valuable than probably half the quarterbacks in this league. There's just he brings that much impact into the game. And I don't want to turn this into me just acting like Le'Veon Bell's agent. He has an agent, but it's remarkable to me how the league is able to, in a lot of ways, almost brainwash some fans into thinking that the running back position isn't that valuable. You don't pay guys for two positions. You only pay them for one. They're able to really convince people that that's the case when that's no longer the case with a handful of guys. You named some of them. There's no longer the – Gurley is a different animal than other running backs. He's just different. And Bell's the same way, and they have more value than some quarterbacks because of everything they do in the offense.
Mike Freeman, my guest, you know, you mentioned different. Le'Veon's different. He's a different cat on the field. He's a different kind of player. He's a different guy off the field. He's just different. But when I think about a different guy and a different running back, in writing about running backs, you reference Barry Sanders and the impact that he had as a one-man offense. And, of course, for all the noise he made on the field, he made next to no noise off the field whatsoever. You wrote a piece on him back in the day. I've had a couple of experiences myself with him back in the day. What did you have to do to get him to sit down? And then what was it like when you actually did sit down with him?
He's very hard to catch on and off the field.
He is elusive, man.
For people who don't know, Jim, I mean, you know this. For people who don't know, he's a very, very quiet guy, has been his whole career, always shunned the spotlight, and was just a very low-key, really good dude. And the couple times I would go to interview him, it would take me days to be able to do it because he just didn't want to do. He just didn't want to deal with it. He was never mean. He was always classy. He was always nice. And eventually he would sit down with you, but you would have to jump through hoops to do it. And then once you did sit down with him, he was a really, really is just a smart guy and a really nice guy. And he turns 50 this week, I think. And I don't know how many people got to watch him live and got to see a lot of him. And you can see what he did on YouTube, and you watched him live. You know how great he was. For people who didn't, I mean, it's hard to put into words how good he was. He was just a very electric player. He was better. If you think, you know, we were talking about Le'Veon Bell, and if you think those guys are good, Sanders was a lot better. And that tells you how good he was. He was just a really fantastic player. And off the field, just a really, really good dude.
He was one of the most unique players I've ever seen, one of the most unique running backs I've ever seen. In fact, I would argue, Mike, I've never seen a player like Barry Sanders. I've never seen guys who could do what Barry Sanders could do. I mean, in a league of really freaky athletes, I've never seen a guy like that. And then off the field, he was so interesting. I can remember, Mike, when I was in Santa Barbara getting my start, I have no idea why, but it was not long after he won the Heisman Trophy. He came through Santa Barbara, and it was like he went through some PT clinic or something. I mean, it was so obscure and so weird, and they said to me, do you want to sit down with Barry Sanders? I'm like, are you kidding? Barry Sanders is going to be in Santa Barbara? I say to him, Barry, so tell me about the Heisman. Where is it? He goes, I don't know. I'm like, dude, really? Are you trolling me? Are you doing? He's like, no, really, I don't know. I said, you don't know where the Heisman Trophy is? He's like, I don't know where it is. And like, he almost even didn't care. It was not a disrespect, right? But he literally had lost track of it, or he didn't know. And the weirdest thing about that, Mike, is it wasn't that weird if you know that guy.
Exactly. And that's how he was. A great story. That's how he was and how he still is. I mean, he's still a very low-key guy. He's one of the best running backs. You could argue the best of all time, and he's still a low-key guy. And he was a very just different kind of dude. But on the field, like you said, like he was just such a unique, unbelievable talent, hard to bring down, hard to tackle, and was a one-man show like I've never seen for an other backs. He was just a remarkable, remarkable player.
Listen, one quick topic before you go. When you look at the share of revenue that the players get, and you touched on this, they do get a piece of all that. But when you look at the revenue, the new piece that's about to enter that pie is sports gambling. How aware are the players about the money that's going to be made off of gambling, and how much do they want for themselves?
Players are, Jim, more aware now as much about that, about the finances of that and the finances of football than I've ever seen them in the past. Because in the past, the union was always obviously very tuned into the revenue, how much money players were making and what it meant. But players were a little more distant from it. They were more just how it impacted them individually. Now I see players much more collectively thinking about this. And the gambling is a big part of this. I mean, it's just going to be huge amounts of money coming in. They're already coming in New Jersey, where I am. There's already a lot of money coming in from gambling. It's just going to get much more so. And players are really, really paying attention to this because they don't want to lose any of this money, because everyone is going to be making money off of this, and they want to be a part of this. And I'm telling you, Jim, when the collective bargaining agreement is up, when this one is up in a few years down the road, this is going to be a huge part of it. I don't know how players will do it, but I know there's going to be a movement to get guaranteed deals, get more money, and they're going to have to sit out a year to do it if they do this, but there's going to be a movement to do that. They're going to want more of the pie because the pie just keeps getting bigger. It's weird. The ratings have sort of leveled off and gone down, but the money has stayed the same and gotten bigger. More, the TV contracts are the same. Gambling money is coming into the picture. So the sport is going to see unprecedented financial growth in the next few years, and players are watching this very, very closely.
One of the universes most universally respected, interesting, and liked people, Mike Freeman. You can read him on Bleacher Report. You should absolutely read his books. You Negotiate Like a Girl with Amy Trask, Snake, The Legendary Life of Ken Stabler, and most of all, Clones, you should watch Star Trek.
Warp speed, baby. Let's go.
Warp speed, Mike. Warp speed. Have a tremendous day. And a Vulcan salute to you, Mike Freeman, my guest. My thanks to him. All right, let's take a short time out.